No, we want to welcome all of you back to Parliament, particularly members who took a long recess. And I know that you've been working very hard. I hope you rested as well in the process. And also to welcome GST team, Dr. Nesomukulu and your team, Department of Science and Technology, and all after going through a difficult time after losing a father 2 weeks ago. Welcome, Nina, and I'm sure you understand that the committee has always been with you. And thanks for all the services that you have been giving to us. Please continue to do so. Comrade Ainsley, I know that you are double booked. We're trying to do what we can to ensure that before anyone else leaves, that we've covered most of the ground. Just housekeeping matters quickly before we give Dr. Nesomukulu to deal with the bill itself. You'll recall that the reason why we're doing this bill is that we want to finish it before we take the July recess. All right, we're not going to rush it, but certainly we're going to try and do our best. The bill is referred to us today, ATC, so we can go ahead and advertise for public hearings and do what we need to do. So we're going to give the public 3 weeks. There are no school holidays, there's nothing. 3 weeks, we advertise this weekend on Sunday, one or two Sunday papers, and then we give them 3 weeks to respond. After that, we take in public hearing, maybe beginning of June. I hope that is clear. Members will recall that at the end of this month, you will be doing your budget vote debate in extended public hearings, so I'm sure we'll start dealing with this matter. But I want us to finalize this by mid-end of June. The third week of June, we should have finished this bill. It looks very straightforward. I'm told it's hot off the press now. Is it true? Mm-hmm. Is it true? Okay. Okay. All right. Members, you also have it in this form. And what we've got in front of us is this slide that we are going to be taken through. But also that next week, Tuesday, we're supposed to have AISA here. They have been calling since yesterday to say that they've got a long paid for trip for whatever. That was long arranged to Argentina, so they were appealing for a postponement because the chief executive wants to be here himself. On your behalf, I've agreed to that postponement. We'll have to look into a date where they would be ready. You recall that our last engagement with them, what the issues were. So we want that team to be here to deal with those matters. AISA, Africa Institute of South Africa. Funny name, you know. And then next Friday, members will recall that we're having the DST on the budget board. Okay? And then NACI will follow. Haven't we done NACI? But we'll check what happens after that. So we're trying to finish whatever budget presentations and everything that we want to do as soon as possible. I think I should leave it at that for now. And I'm not sure if there's anything else, members, that I'm forgetting. I've got some apologies here. One from the WOP and another one from Mr. Faro and Mr. Neville of Norte. So those are the apologies. Chris, before I give over to you, can you just take... Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's proceed. We don't have any microphones. Apologies for the venue. That's the best we could do. They wanted us to send us to another venue outside of Parliament, but also there were no microphones. We were going to use our mass rally voices. Viva Comrade Nesomukulu.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Thank you for allowing us to come before you to present the National Faith and Agency Bill. Okay. My name is Boni Mesemakulu. I'm one of the senior officials in the Department of Science and Technology. I'm here representing my Director General, Dr. Tom Joaha, who couldn't be here with us today. I have a team that is supporting this activity. And the person who's going to give a presentation is Ms. Fonzo Marofin, who is leading the development of the faith program in the Department of Science and Technology. We have a team for our legal department, Mrs. Mapula Kudunga, and Steve Muhapi, who are joining us today, and Veli Bele, and Nervous Gemma from the Minister's Office. This is, Chair, the second bill on institutional arrangement that we're bringing in front of you this year. And we believe that's a sign of a maturing system of innovation. Countries that are starting to invest in science and technology will invest in projects and programs. And when a system starts to look at its institutional arrangement and starts to consolidate amongst its instruments, that's a sign of a maturing system. And we believe that we have a competitive advantage and a comparative advantage in space science and technology in South Africa. And we want to then take that opportunity to consolidate and coordinate our efforts in space science and technology through this space agency. I will then hand over to my colleague, Ms. Fonzo Marofin, who will give the presentation. But I can see that even though we're not load shedded, we have some electricity issues here. Are they trying to help us?
Yes.
Yeah, no, we'll continue with this until they sort out the plug story.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I thought that before I talk about the bill, I should just say something about why South Africa should bother having a space agency in the first place. A lot of our government departments and institutions are already using space. A lot of the products and services that we provide in space, we are buying from outside. And I'll give you some of the examples of where we use space science and technology already in South Africa and the areas that we think that we if we have a space agency, we would be able to strengthen this position even better. I'll start by apologizing because we've refined the presentation a little bit, but we haven't changed it too much, so there's probably one or two slides that we took out, and I will tell you when we get to that stage which slides I've taken out. So the content of my presentation will deal with white space, as I said, and then give you just a brief background of the process that we've undertaken to get here. Talk a little bit about the public consultations and the stakeholder engagements, and then go into a little bit more details on the bill itself, the objects, and just some of the key elements of the bill. The first slide, I hope is clear enough on your printed slide, is a picture of taken using two American satellites, Landsat 5 and MODIS, that we generally use to monitor fires when we have fires. If you look at the pictures on the left-hand side, you'll see there was an image taken every day. And what we do when we have those images, we then produce the image on the right-hand side, which is an interpreted image. And with the one on the right-hand side, you can specifically see which trees bend more than others, how the fire moved throughout the various days as it was developing, and this becomes a very useful tool in determining emergency services, where do they start trying to kill the fire, and which are the things that are likely to burn more than others, and then you can also use it to determine how you can protect against fires by perhaps creating barriers with some of the trees that don't burn as quickly, for example. The next one is an example that is used primarily by provinces and municipalities, where this is a high resolution image from a rapid eye satellite, also an American satellite, and you know, clearly from an image like that you can determine the position of various services. For example, as the urban environment grows, you can determine whether you still have adequate access roads. In putting information like this, you can start looking at where the schools located, where the hospitals located, are they accessible, and in fact, with satellites, you can have an up-to-date image almost every hour, depending on which satellite you use, for example. So even in emergencies, you're able to use an image like this to determine how to assist when there's a problem. The next one is not so obvious. This is a process whereby using space observations, you can look at the conditions that environmental conditions that pose risks to certain diseases that are related to environmental conditions. And using that analysis, you can start determining, for instance, where do you start giving vaccinations, because there's a higher risk in that area of people getting those either air or waterborne diseases. And in the end, actually, you can produce a risk analysis map that tells you which areas have the highest risk of having breakouts. The next example relates to the responsibility of the Department of Water Affairs, where the new regulation requires that farmers register water usage, even if they are using rainwater, for example, to water their farms. And this depends very much on farmers being honest and registering the correct amount of farmland that they have irrigated. If you look at the image that's on there, for instance, the red, the dark red ones in the, not easy to explain this, showing, but the dark red circles that are inside the rectangular box indicate areas that are irrigated. So using a satellite image, that analysis was done, and it was determined that this farmer, even though he declared 12 hectares, in actual fact, he had irrigated 36 hectares. And this allows, for instance, the Department of Water Affairs to be able to enforce a regulation that they are mandated to do. Pardon?
After a rainy day.
No, it wasn't after the rain. So they would register after they have done it, and then, but then you can always go back and check an image for a specific period, so you can do it for a predetermined period. Okay, the next one, unfortunately looks flattered on a printed slide, but the first image is, we know that status say now only that, well, census is only done every 10 years now. And because there is a long period between the census, there has to be a way of still maintaining some sort of accurate statistics about population growth and the different changes happening in the communities. So what CSSA does now is they use these images from the French satellite Spot 5, and they are able to give very accurate maps to field workers who then take these maps, and as they go to the various communities, they're able to put a dot on each dwelling that they visit. And therefore, it's a much easier and accurate way of determining exactly which areas were monitored, and they're able to verify accurately the statistics that they receive. Before this, they used to use maps, and they would give them a block and say, you know, go and analyze this block, but they would never be able to know where the data came from exactly, because there wasn't a way of accurately mapping where the field workers have worked. Other applications that we already use, agriculture for crop monitoring, assessing the conditions of the crop, looking at whether crops have are undergoing any stress because of lack of water, being able to estimate the yields of various crops, and if there's been fires, for example, with the example I gave, being able to determine damage from that. On an environmental side, there's looking at things like land use and soil contamination, determining desertification, disaster monitoring, all of those things. If you look at the images that are presented before, it's immediately obvious that you can be able to do all those analyses. Other applications, South Africa is still very much a resource-rich country, so we rely a lot on mining activities as well. And using satellite data, you're able to do initial exploration work, at least for mining. In the urban environment, you can look at things like infrastructure and utilities, as I've mentioned, as well as mapping the images, as I've shown. These satellites are flying high above the earth, so you're able to assess actually any part of the world without having to be in that particular world. The images I showed you were from foreign satellites, which means that all these countries that do have satellites are able to also monitor all those various things within our country as well. The other area where satellites are important is in satellite communication. It's probably one of the ones that we really tend to take for granted. Being able to get live broadcast of soccer matches cannot happen without satellite communication. They rely very much on being able to immediately take images, upload them to a satellite, and distribute them worldwide. And obviously, because of that accessibility, you can also improve access to communication infrastructure in rural areas. Another application is navigation applications. This is used primarily for managing air traffic control, but you know, now a lot of cars have GPS systems. The GPS satellites belong to the Americans. It was initially developed as a military system, and they decided to open up parts of its application to civilian use, and it's readily available to everyone. What a lot of countries are doing now is, because it was specifically designed for North America, the accuracy level tends to be lower outside North America, and therefore some of the things that we think South Africa should do is to have improve the accuracy of that signal. So not necessarily develop our own navigation satellites, but have an augmentation system that improves the accuracy of the GPS signal, so that we can provide more accurate positioning and timing for critical applications such as traffic control. Basically, in summary, the advantages of space is, as I said, the ability to observe broad areas without interfering, so it's non-intrusive. Uniformity means that if you observe with the same satellite one area in a different part of the world and observe that a different area again. You can compare the two places because it's exactly the same sensor, it's taking exactly the same images. It has the ability to measure, take measurements rapidly because it's always deployed, it's always on. It provides continuity. Some of the images that I showed, for instance, with the fire observation from the Landsat satellite, the Landsat has been operating for over 20 years. This is the seventh generation of Landsat satellites that the Americans are flying. All of that data is available. So you're able to do long-term studies, determining things like environmental impact, looking at climate change issues. You're able to look at all of that data because it's already available. It has the ability to be rapidly deployed when you have disasters. For instance, some of the ones that they've had, like Katrina, where the ground infrastructure was completely destroyed, you still have satellites to be able to communicate and also be able to monitor what is happening on the ground. Again, on communication, it has the ability to distribute information very broadly, and the example I gave of live soccer matches is a clear indication of that. And I've also mentioned the issues around global navigation. Now getting into the bill itself, Cabinet 2 years ago approved the establishment of the Space Agency. We then developed a business case, and this was submitted to National Treasury and Department of Public Service and Administration. The bill was also developed, and the draft bill was published in August 2007. And we then received inputs from the public, written inputs, and we also had public consultations in terms of workshops and one-on-one meetings with various departments. And now the draft bill was again presented to Cabinet so that we can have it processed through the parliamentary process and has now been certified by the state law. As I said, public consultations involved one-on-one discussions with key role players within the system, and that includes public, private sector, and communities. We've engaged international and local seminars and conferences just to get input as well. The presentation was also given to the DG clusters and intergovernmental committee and various public fora. And again, as I said, the public was invited to submit comments on the bill. I think I've already mentioned that we've received input from the various stakeholders. I just wanted to summarize some of the comments without going into too much detail on any of them. I think the overall feedback was very positive. The stakeholders believe that, for us to be able to take better advantage of opportunities that space provides, we need to have a much more coordinated effort. I mean, as an example, as I indicated, that various levels of government use this information, and what used to happen still happens to some extent is that they would approach service providers and request them to acquire the images for them, and we tend to find that in some cases actually government pays more than once for the same information, because if you have a province asking for it and a local government asking for it, the service providers don't declare that actually the province has already paid for this information, you don't have to buy it again, but they resell it. And we've already started to at least coordinate even that with the Spot 5 example that I was showing you that SSA uses. We negotiated a multi-government user license for access to that data, so it's bought once and it's available for all of government to use. The other comments were around getting a better understanding of what's going to be the relationship between the agency and the Space Council. There is a Space, South Africa is a Space Affairs Act that was primarily developed to regulate activities of within the country of how people can interact with space. The reason why that legislation was necessary is that because space is considered to be not to belong to anyone per se, there has to be in a country some way of regulating how we interact with other nations in space. And there are, for instance, United Nations treaties that South Africa has signed, making commitments about how we will behave if we operate in space, and therefore that Space Affairs Act was primarily to regulate those activities. How we see this is that the Council will continue to become primarily a regulatory body, and the agency will be looking at primarily implementing space programs. The other comments were around the integration of certain facilities that were established primarily to do space. One of those facilities is the HOTEP facility in Kabo. It was set up by the previous government when they had a space program and were developing satellites, and it's primarily an assembly, integration, and testing facility for satellites. And then the Satellite Application Center, which is probably the only facility in Africa of that kind that is able to get access to data from various satellites, and they acquire a lot of the data that is used by the government departments. Other comments were around the involvement of private sector. The way we see this is that the agency will operate like any other agency of government in terms of looking at opportunities to grow local industry, but at the same time being able to do so in a very cost-effective manner on behalf of the general public. So there will be no difference in how it operates in that respect. And the agency is expected to work with all entities, public, private sector, and even NGOs where possible. Okay, that's the slide that wasn't in your pack, and I will make sure Veli has that. So just giving a bit of context on the agency itself. As I said, the Council provides legal and regulatory framework, and the agency provides institutional capacity for developing space systems, so being able to develop satellites, being able to acquire data from other satellites if necessary, and also having the capacity to integrate this information with some of the ground-based observations that are done, and the capacity to predetermine, or at least predict what future systems will be required to support the services in the country. Therefore, the purpose of this bill is to establish the space agency as a public entity that will be able to coordinate and integrate various activities in space science and technology, and it will also be able to provide long-term planning capabilities for implementing those activities. It provides for the appointment of a board and a CEO and staffing the agency itself, and it sets out the object, powers, and duties of the agency. The key elements of the bill are the object, promote peaceful use of outer space, to support the creation of an environment that allows for industry, local industry, to develop in space science and technology, and to support research and development in astronomy, observation, communication, navigation, and space physics, to advance technological development in the country through ensuring that we train the develop the necessary human capital, as well as promoting space as a career to young people. It will also be in a position to foster international cooperation in space. Its functions will be to implement the space program. The department is at the moment developing a space strategy, which is in line with the 10-year innovation plan, and the main implementing agency for the strategy will be the Space Agency. And these programs it will implement in line with the Space Affairs Act, which, as I mentioned, is primarily a regulatory. It will be in a position to advise the minister on the development of space science and technology strategies and programs, and it will implement any national space science and technology strategy. It will also be primarily responsible for acquiring and analyzing and disseminating satellite data on behalf of government. The board, the space agents will have a board, and this board will be responsible for management and control of the agency. It will consist of a chairperson that will be appointed by the minister and have no less than 10 to 15 members, and the chief executive officer also as an ex-official member. The terms of remuneration will allow the board to be set up for or members of the board will be have a 4-year term and be eligible for reappointment, and the allowances and remunerations will be determined by the minister in concurrence with the Minister of Finance. I have taken out the next two slides because I thought there were more details, so if you can move to the slide on the chief executive officer. The CEO will be appointed by the board and will be responsible for the day-to-day management of the affairs of the agency. The CEO will have a 5-year office term and may not serve for more than 2 consecutive terms. The funding of the agency will be through allocation by National Treasury. Any revenues or interest that can be derived from whatever investments, money that's raised or borrowed or obtained from other sources, as well as donations and contributions. In terms of regulations, the minister may make regulations to support the work of the agency, and this must be prescribed in terms of the Act. And these may be on any ancillary or administrative matter that's necessary for implementing the administration of the Act. The short title of the Act will be called the South African National Space Agency Act. And commencement will be from the date fixed by the president to the project. Finally, I just wanted to indicate, I think I've already mentioned HOTEC and the Satellite Application Center, and we have proposed to cabinet that the HOTEC facility and the Satellite Application Center should be managed by the agency. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Satellite application center, the one in Khrabow.
No, the satellite application center is in Harteb Yesu. The one in Khrabow is, yeah, Hote. It's called and in fact it's called the Institute of Space and Software Applications.
Now, the comments and the reports that you got from your own public hearings or public engagement, is that report available?
We are finalizing compiling the report and we can make it available, I think, within this week.
So we get by Friday so that we get more than the gist of what was going on in the minds of the public. You've mentioned, I'll give members just to engage. You've mentioned the France and the US as the main base station that you use or whatever. How many satellite ownership do we have in our space or around?
In total?
No, more than the major ones, country.
Well, the ones that we know of are more than 3,000, but obviously there are a lot more that we don't know about. So, for instance, the military ones, they don't always declare them. So, you won't know, you know, for instance, how many the U.S. defense has flying.
And do we have any or nothing? You're going to tell us the advantage of South Africa in space technology, why we go in that route. And I haven't forgotten that you promised us the comparative advantage that we have.
We currently developed a microsatellite, which we are waiting to launch. We initially were supposed to launch it with Russia, but we had problems, so we are negotiating with India to launch that satellite. It was developed by a local company, Sunspace, that's in Stellenbosch, and funded by the department. The University of Stellenbosch, I think they absorbed some of the people that used to work in the previous space program, and they were they developed a satellite sometime in the early 90s. And this satellite was launched with the in cooperation with the U.S. and they've maintained you know, training on space and satellite engineering all along. So we do have some capability in the country. We also undertook an audit of just to determine which other companies would be able to participate in the space program, and we established that there are some aerospace companies that are now doing primarily defense work that could also be able to develop space systems in the country. So there is some capability. I think that, you know, at the moment it's relatively easy to get information, but there is usually countries determine how they distribute the data from their own satellites. For example, it's a lot more difficult to get very high resolution data because some countries decide who they want to sell that data to. So even if they have the data, they might decide not to sell it to South Africa. I think it's probably more from a security perspective, but also from being able to optimize and ensure that we have the systems that support our own users rather than depending on other people's resources in some cases, of course. I don't think we'll ever get to a stage where we are completely independent, but I think we can develop some independence in some areas.
I'm giving to members to engage this, but one last thing that you might want to just tell us is your compilation of treaties, UN treaties that you have signed or the ones that you've ratified, and maybe into space regulation.
philosophical justice is the global picture of what is calling ourselves. Over 3,000 people, looks like our space is taken up. Any space below our
there's a lot of space in space.
There's a lot of space in space. Okay. There's no collision of this. They don't collide. No, we didn't need any space of
I firmly believe that we should rapidly propagate the availability of technology in space. Because if we look what she has given us this morning, Department of Agriculture and every farm can use this to a tremendous advantage for any community. And local governments can use this as far as town planning and that kind of thing. Department of Public Works have been sitting on an asset register for years, but they're not able to find out where all their assets. Now you can take a photograph and say, who does that farm belong to? Who does that building belong to? And it should become so much easier, therefore, and cheaper for administration in all spheres of South African society. What are you going to do to propagate the potential of the space use that we now have available?
No, you might just take Wala to the world.
Thank you for the presentation. I just want to say that in the book itself, third place, there's something to do with in terms of the objective of the agency. I just want to please comment on point B, that is about the environment conducive to industrial development. Perhaps you could tell us a bit more in terms of industrial development. Another issue that I'm concerned about in research with regard to environmental impact on development itself. And how do we accrue or get the competitive edge with regard to other countries? Because if we have this agency, how do we see this really panning itself out in terms of the research that it's looking towards? And my concern, ma'am, is a very crucial concern in terms of skills development and human capital. I think it's well and good to be as a developing country. I don't believe we're completely developed. We are developing. In terms of putting so much money into space, I think it's important that we do. But we need to also recognize that we need to ensure that we have the skill set and human capital. How do we ensure that kind of balance in terms of getting the goal to really reach its objective?
Thank you. Let me take the last one and then we'll take some responses.
My constituency of the Duet West, or Dylan and Tell, is largely rural. And a major way out of poverty in Duet West is agriculture. And we just completed a grand agricultural plan of Duet West, based to a very large extent on the satellite images, which tell us where there is water, where we should grow amadouzi, where we should grow abalone, and so on. So the information supplied by the assistant is extremely useful. As my colleague has said, not only in agriculture, but really in every facet of life. So at least to that, for those reasons, one would vigorously support this law. Then I've got a question. You say there are about 3,000 of these satellites moving around us. Now, does anybody control these satellites? Is there any management? Is there any monitoring? Or can anybody just go and, like a skyrocket, just go and zoom off his own satellite into space? Surely there must be some sort of form of control. That's at the level of the United Nations. Then finally, just giving, looking at the bill, point to the board members on page 4. We've had months, if not years, of discussion about the appointment of these boards. I'm very disappointed that so far there is no consistency, no uniformity in the appointment of boards. And it comes as a bit of a surprise in 71 that the minister, after consultation with the cabinet, that's a new one for me. I haven't come across that before. The minister, in consultation with the cabinet, will appoint the board. I'm wondering why that is necessary. But more than that, it would be useful if you go back to the debates you had before in this department with other boards. Back to those before debates. And our decision regarding parliamentary participation in the project of war. Yeah, the cabinet is mentioned, the minister is mentioned, parliament for all purposes in seven is not existing. So perhaps if you go back and next time come back and advise us. Maybe there's been a after consultation with cabinet, maybe that's the new direction we're going in, perhaps in future. All boards will be appointed that way. As we need to know.
Yeah, let's take up some response.
The issue of how are we going to, or what will we do to propagate the technology? We, as one of the key programs of the agency is in building awareness and capacity development. And when we talk about capacity, we are not talking about just training engineers and scientists, but to ensure that there's institutional capacity at various levels of government to use this information. And what how we started at the moment is when we're developing the strategy, we invited all government departments to at national level to participate in an intergovernmental committee. You know, unfortunately, not all government departments have been actively participating, but I think we've had at least 20 or so government departments that were part of developing the strategy. And in that way, I think we are creating a lot more awareness about how you can use space science and technology. But I think at least for the first 5 years, the key programs of the agency will be to develop capacity. And that's at institutional level, looking at local government, provincial government, and national government to ensure that they have the facilities that they need to be able to support or to be able to use this technology. So that's the first thing that we're looking at. The Satellite Application Center, we are looking at them developing a training facility at the Satellite Application Center where we'll be able to do those type of training courses to support primarily the government users to use the data more effectively. Does that answer your question? Okay. On industrial development, as I indicated, before we started working on the strategy, we did that analysis of trying to determine what capacity we have in industry to participate in this program. A lot of South Africa is slightly different from a lot of developing countries that are working in space because we have this history where we used to have a space program and I understand at the time we used to have more than 500 professionals working in the space program, developing satellites and developing launching capability. So that capability still exists and it was our intention that we start not only identifying the companies, but even the individuals that have worked in the previous space program. As you can imagine, a lot of
those people are getting older, and therefore the idea is that we set up what we call competency centers, and this brings an aggregation of various institutions, private and public institutions, to develop specific capabilities. So as an example, if we say we want to focus on high-resolution sensors, optical sensors, we will then have a competence center that involves a capacity that already exists in the CSIR, in some of the companies, in DNEL, and therefore start building up a lot more people that are able to develop these systems. And the idea would be that then the space agency will not necessarily have all of those capabilities in-house, but will be able to work with the institutions and private sector in developing satellites, if we do that. So the idea would very much be focused on what does the country need, and therefore how do we best support that need. And in some cases, there might be a need to work with other countries to build local capability, and once that capability is established locally, then the local industry can participate in that program and build this system. And obviously in that way, we also expect that they will be able to sell these capabilities elsewhere. There are a lot of developing countries that are starting to invest quite a lot in space. In Africa, already Nigeria and Algeria are, I guess, sort of ahead of South Africa because they have space agencies and they've had them for quite some time. But where we have an advantage is that we have some capability already in the country, whereas their program relies primarily on buying this infrastructure from elsewhere. So I think there's a chance for us to build a local industry around that. And as I said, a lot of these companies are aerospace companies, so they also do work primarily on the defense side, but there is quite a lot of crossover in terms of the capabilities that you need to develop space systems and the capabilities you need to develop aeroplanes, for example. I think I've touched a little bit on skills development. Already this year, we're going to start trying to promote people taking up postgraduate degrees for instance, mechanical and electronics engineering, because those are some of the core skills that you need for satellite engineering, in order to support those people to start now working in the space program. So I think the issues of developing local skills, I guess, is across the board on all of the programs that the DST does, and this is no different to some extent. So with each of the programs that we propose, we ensure that we have a mechanism for developing a skills base. In terms of who controls the all these objects in space. Yes, there is a United Nations Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space that has various treaties in terms, and these treaties determine what liabilities countries have in operating in space, and how we need to set up within a nation how those activities are undertaken within the country. In addition to that, there is an international body that manages, so each country that launches a satellite has to register that satellite. But as I said, some of these treaties are such that, countries are really not forced to do it. And it's really out of saying we want to be able to share space, all of us, and therefore if you are a signatory to a specific treaty, then you will register So a lot of them are registered, but I am sure that there are others that are not registered. So there is a way of determining exactly how many spacecraft are flying. At the same time, there is a process for, because once you have the satellite in space, you have to have a way of communicating with it on the ground. And for that process, there is an international telecommunications union that administers the registration of frequencies. So that communication is determined in terms of what frequency band you're going to use to communicate with that satellite. And therefore, to some extent, they control also and register and manage the satellites that are flying in terms of them being able to allocate specific frequencies for a specific satellite, and therefore allow the operator to be able to use that satellite. So there is some management through the UN. In terms of the board appointments, I think I'm going to allow Boni to respond to that. On the treaties, I think what we will do is provide a list of all the treaties that South Africa has signed, and the ones that some of them we've ratified, but we haven't signed them. And I know that the DTI was in the process of getting some of those processes finalized. So we will provide a list of the treaties that we've signed.
Just apologize for the inconsistency in the appointment of Paul and our articulation of that part of the bill. And the reason is that in the department there isn't a confirmed standpoint and on that issue. We've written to the president, the minister wrote to the president to request opinion on that issue, and we received a response, and I will allow our legal services person to talk to that response, because it affects the HSRC bill, that was on the HSRC bill, it will affect the TIA bill as well, and it also affects this bill. Mapula,
would you like to talk? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Mapula. But what is the wording of the amendment of the bill is, besides that, when the HSRC bill was sent to the office of the president, when the HSRC bill was sent to the office of the president, our minister actually asked the office of the president to withhold the signing of the bill, pending the legal opinion that the department actually had regarding that wording of the appointment of the bill. The department received the legal opinion, and the legal opinion, I will read it after that, it was not in support of the wording that the parliament just adopted when that bill was actually adopted in parliament. So the bill is actually at this stage not being signed because of that wording, and it will be actually sent back to the National Assembly for reconsideration. So if I may read out the response that we got from the president concerning the waiving of that bill. It goes like, I have received the above bill from the Secretary of Parliament for me to assign to and sign into law. The Minister of Science and Technology, Mr. Mukundi Manyana, requested me not to sign the bill into law, changing a legal opinion on the constitutionality of the provision of Section 5 of the bill, that is the HSRC bill. I am now in possession of the legal opinion obtained by the minister. The legal opinion is attached to for your information and consideration. Section 5.3 of the bill specifically gives power to the Minister of Science and Technology to appoint members of the Union Science Research Council Board. Section 5.3 of the bill provides that the minister may, in consultation with the National Assembly, appoint members of the board after publishing a notice to the government service and premium papers circulating in the Republic, calling upon members of the public to nominate persons contemplated in subsection 3 A and B. That was the quote from the position of the bill.
It's not
You can make that available.
The letter, Chair, is from the President to the Speaker of Parliament for reconsideration of that wording in the SEC Council. So there isn't a position we can present at this stage on that wording because it's a point of discussion that we still trying to resolve.
But if they are not Department is resisting this in Korea, so okay. The minister informed me some time ago that although he did not make it available to us, that they are seeking legal opinion because the jurisdiction of appointment of powers is that of the executive. Okay? And we said we will await that opinion that they have got. I was briefed yesterday that you've got a legal opinion that says the bill might be unconstitutional, so you're sending it back to Parliament for investigation. You're still waiting that before us. So Aluta continue. You see, because I think also members went through a very painful process to try and make this board accountable and kept the executive accountable to Parliament as per the Constitution. Alright? And there have been reasons. I found this thing very interesting when I joined this committee. When you fought through in consultation after consultation, the departments were defeated, you went to the NCOP to fight on, they brought an amendment that we rejected. So, Aluta continue. The committee also got a legal opinion that says the bill is perfectly constitutional. So it's fine. By easy, because we're waiting. Okay.
Certainly, can I make a formal proposal that that document be tabled?
Which table? The
letter from the President where it explained.
It's coming forward to us.
Yeah.
Now, what the speaker does, the letter will accompany a report from the President and hopefully also the legal opinion from the NCC. Then, when it's tabled, then you can see what according to it. So, I don't know, we want power to appoint, you see. And Parliament says we can't give you those powers without checking them. Okay? Anyway.
When we presented this bill, that's the comment that came from cabinet, because I think when it went in, it was
really in consultation with Parliament.
Yes.
Because we were like wanting that uniformity with all our bills. So they are the most red, and then they were in favor of it, and that's the only way that they got that can take the bills. And then they do that with the recommendation of cabinet. It can't be anything after that.
Comrades, honorable members, and the DST, we're not going to fight here about it. There's a proposal that we thought to look into for cabinet to be consulted. After consultation, then the board must be appointed.
Hmm.
Okay? There is a position that you have put to say you want this board to be consulted in consultation. The DST tried to say after consultation. So that's what I'm saying, Aluta, continue. Let's wait for those to come and deal with it. We don't have to debate the appointment of the board yet. Mm-hmm. It's just a presentation to say, hey, man, this is coming to you. When it's referred like this, you deal with it. It becomes yours. Out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you can do what it is you like. It's all yours. You know, I'm glad that this thing came up. And also the question of skills development. You know, one thing that our tech was a very strategic place for our kids. And I don't know what happened, but also there was a training facility there that was actually training this type of people that we're talking about. The thing was halted for a long period, we've been putting a lot of money into maintaining that without getting any return. So we're having it as a white elephant there. I know at some point Dr. Nashamukul was trying to mediate some fight between the tenants there. Column makers and yourselves fighting, everybody trying to. I don't know how far that thing has gone, but clearly that column makers are seeing that as an opportunity to make column, whilst for a period, whilst we're still trying to think what to do, and the government is saying no, whatever. So it was a quite a. But the opportunity that we've lost in that area was that we've allowed it to die down. Even the Department of Communications was just putting a lot of money there. I've been there several times, I know what I'm talking about. And you can see that, there's a tax shop there. Take a wholesale supermarket and make a tax shop. You see, the thing that we utilize. But anyway, let's revive the DPC. Let's revive all these other things and see how far we go and so on and so on. But you allow the skills to go, and we wait for people to start coming back again to restart the business. You can't operate a country like that. You can't. Anyway, that is more. It's a pleasure. Sorry, just a follow-up. Sorry, Prof. I've noted the two of you. Let's take it off. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chairman, the reason why I asked how are we going to propagate what is now in technology and what our people doesn't know yet? It becomes an extremely useful tool for us. And the technology development is so rapid that within 2 years after the bill has been signed, we would like to know what has happened in propagating it to the farmer, to the town planner, and everybody else. And therefore, we will have a portfolio committee and oversight function to go back and see what is now being done to address the progress of making people aware of what is in space. And that's the reason why I'm asking. This is why I'm saying maybe we should put it on our agenda. That somewhere there must be a program developed in the Department of Science and Technology to continually be on this board and make people aware of what is happening in space so that we can have the advantage. We want to have a competitive advantage in this rapidly growing global economy, then our people need to get the knowledge of what is out there in space for them to use. And this is why I'm very serious about this thing, because I was so surprised a couple of months ago on asking a question about the asset register in public works and finding out that the people in public works do not know they can use the satellite to photograph a township and find out what structures are in that township. Here we have it on record now. And if that knowledge doesn't exist in our department, if it doesn't exist in the local government, then it simply applies to get into space and then sitting on making donkey cars and things. And therefore, I'm very excited about the bill, but I would like to make our people aware that we have a modern tool. Go and use it. And stop fiddling around. Use the tool.
They're using it already in the end.
But local governments are not. There's not enough knowledge in local governments.
All I'm saying is, Mr. Blanche, is that we don't have to wait for this one. To try and promote or propagate or have this advocacy about what technologies are available and so on and so on. It's something that needs an intervention now.
Yes.
Okay? So maybe like you're saying, let's just try and highlight this lesson and see how we can deal with this so that local governments and public works and whoever can be able to access this type of information. So it's already available. It's available to provide. Whether we can get this type of quality picture.
Can I add to this?
Yes.
We are going into the problem of global warming. And if you look at the Ekurhuleni metropolitan area, you'll find that the traffic on some of the main arteries have grown to such an extent that there's a pile up in peak hour traffic of about 10 kilometers of traffic standing in between. And by accepting it with the tools that are available, you can really do a lot to enhance that. Another thing that I found in that echo rain that the forest encounters, there's so many buildings coming into it. That's a heavy rainfall.
I don't want you to exhaust this now.
Okay.
Because I promised other members to also speak. I'll come back to you so that you take forward this passion. I know it by now. let's notice the point, but I'll come back to you. I just want to ensure that I'm not unfair to other members who are waiting patiently to make some input. Prophet, let's speak. Prophet Mawad, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I don't see things rather clearly. We're talking about various applications. Mm-hmm. For example, if you see epidemic surveillance, from that picture I can draw no conclusion whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Maybe expert people can. Mm-hmm. The point I'm making. Similarly with the other things, agriculture, it doesn't tell me. I don't understand. I see there's fields there, but maybe there's not enough resolution. I don't understand exactly what is being conveyed by the agricultural field.
Mm-hmm.
How much can be inferred from it. But I'm clear that you see certain things can be. I think, for example, years ago, the American previous government in South Africa of having exploded a nuclear weapon in the southwest. And clearly, they must have picked up the nuclei and various things like that. But South Africa denies it. It is really not sufficient to take sides or to come to a conclusion because Americans didn't say exactly what they had found.
Mm.
And South Africans are just denying. But suspicion is that there was a nuclear explosion that took place.
Mm.
And that they must have picked up the nuclei and various things. I can't, for example, see from a picture environment really what conclusions I can draw from the picture. It probably needs more experience, but I'm just saying is that on first glance it is unimpressive to me. But if I take the American example, you see that clearly there are lots of things that I have seen. Can I show another one? I can find a place where I make the note. The various things like that, you see, which are taking place, but the public cannot come to a conclusion of who is telling lies and who is telling us the truth of what is happening. So I can't find it. Not that I will search for it any further. But I'm saying the pictures I find informative to me. And maybe the best one to say that epidemic, I cannot decide anything about the epidemic.
I thought that was a photograph of taking it out because somebody was sick. That's probably the truth. That's a light resolution technology.
I can explain it.
Thank you, Captain. Some of my questions will be out of order.
That's what you're here.
Some of my questions will really be out of order, but having read and having listened to you, the various departments that have been consulted and are participating, is this not the highest time that NACI does not necessarily report to science and technology, but to some bigger body? I mean, like to the president, the deputy president, or whatever, because there are so many departments that are involved here, and I think the Minister of Science and Technology, will he or she have all the muscle to tell this department about this various thing, particularly for development? We've got this bill that we are going to be looking at and through. As we speak, we want to develop human capital is the department already having in its mind how it will begin to look into the issue of mastery to get people to be able to go into this particular field? So are you already checked up to have the batteries around that? I heard that you'll be developing you'll be developing the competency centers using the available councils at the moment. Are they big up enough, the very councils themselves? Because we hear quite a lot of things and very important to us. The data that is being sold, satellite data that is being sold by different countries and whatever. Are they in terms of capital or are they in terms of selling information for development? On a lighter note, in the slide, particularly the farmer, where the farmer irrigated bigger areas of land than what is designated, what does the Department of Water Affairs do with that? Because somehow it is a civil crime to tell that lie. And Chairperson, sometime back in 2006 or 2007, we had people from France, Spain to give us some information, and we had intended to visit France, Spain. I am impressed that the FC is actually saying something about them, because we felt, were they part of the FC? Who are they? Now that the FC is actually talking about them, maybe it's even more important that we could say them as a discussion.
So thanks. Okay, can I just add one other example which I intended to do? I don't talk about all of them. For example, in what you see my constituency, in adopting the area in Soweto, there are large numbers of outbreaks of sores from the lake. Australians really accept that there are certain chemicals, I don't know, cyanide and various things like this from the mining operations there, which the children play on the mine dump out the place there and infected them. South Africans, of course, denied this, but that problem persists even today. So you see, there are things that I cannot see from a picture like this here, but which I have seen and the people who know talk about it, but are in no position to decide between what the South Africans think and what the Australians think about it.
I always have something on science. Since we are going to have science, is this topic going to be part of the issues that are going to be raised around science? And is the department going to be informing the learners that are in higher grades and lower grades about the issue of science to begin to raise their interest, particularly the people from the areas that are said in the head corner disadvantaged?
Thank you. I'll take the last word after this one.
I agree that the picture on epidemiology is not very clear. I think really what I was trying to illustrate is satellites provide just the observation, and there's a lot of work that needs to happen once you have that observation to interpret it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you can have different sensors on the satellite. So the ones that are shown rely very much on optical systems. So you take a picture and then it shows you exactly what it looks like on the ground. The weather satellites, there's others that are analyzing atmospheric composition, that are looking at clouds. So all of those ones will not give you an optical picture. They will not give you a picture like this. But they will take measurements, and these measurements then need to be interpreted. And then out of that, you can draw a map that says, in these areas, the environmental conditions are such that you are likely to have an outbreak of a specific disease.
you know, let's take, I think, an easier one to maybe illustrate is malaria, where if you have, you know, the temperature is at a certain level, there's a certain amount of dampness in the air, there's the possibility that you're going to get mosquitoes. And therefore, you are likely to have malaria conditions in a specific area. So in countries like India, for instance, they are using a lot of this space technology to do exactly those analyses, looking at what are in specific areas as the season change, what are the environmental conditions, and therefore, what is the likelihood that you're going to have specific diseases developing. So you will not have a picture of, you know, there's going to be malaria in this area. But what you have is the various factors that you measure, like moisture, the conditions of the plant growth, all of those things, and say these conditions are such that you are likely to have a specific disease in this area. And you can only do new space for either airborne or waterborne diseases. So that's how you can measure all those parameters and do the analysis. And that feature really was to illustrate that you will have the observations, you will then do an analysis, and then pick up the key risk factors where certain diseases propagate, and then in that determine, okay, if this condition continues in 2 months' time, there's a likelihood that there might be an outbreak of a disease. Therefore, you're able to implement a preventative measure before those conditions actually exist. This part of using space for that is not completely operational the same way that urban planning is operational, that, you know, people automatically use it. You obviously need to work a lot with environmental scientists, health scientists, so you need a mix of capabilities to be able to develop this type of application, but it can be done. Okay, I'm not going to comment about NACI. I think I'll leave it for Bonnie. I really do take the point about the propagation of the technology, and I think it's something that we have to take back and develop a very clear program around how we're going to do that. We have some ideas that we started working with. You know, the University of Fort Hare, for instance, is the only university that has postgraduate GIS training, geographic information system training. And a lot of their honor students end up not studying further because they don't have bursaries. What we did last year is actually we gave them bursaries with the intention that we start deploying them once they finish their honors degrees, or while even they're doing their honors level training, deploy them in the local municipalities where they can work with local municipalities and show them how to use the technology, set up the systems for them, and on an ongoing basis being able to go back and assist them, because I think, you know, that's one way of at least giving them opportunities in that career, but also ensuring that they are able to use the skills in their own communities as well. And that, those are some of the programs that we are considering. But obviously, to do that, we have to massify that program. You can't rely on having just 10 postgraduate students developing a program like that. But, you know, we have some ideas that we're looking at. I think, you know, I've really put that down, and I think we'll work on a very specific program. And like the test says, it doesn't have to wait for the bill to be passed. This can be done immediately, I think. On the issues of the bazaars, we sort of started when 2 years ago when we took the agent, the proposal to cabinet for setting up the agency, we had already started looking at, you know, small programs that we could develop in this area. And in fact, when we contracted the University of Stellenbosch and Swartz and some space to develop the microsatellite, we, as part of that, we included a skills development program as as part of it. And we have had students studying full-time at the University of Stellenbosch as part of that program, so they're working on various aspects of satellite engineering. And that program is still ongoing. We're funding it this year as well. And then at the same time, we also invited people that have already graduated to, especially young black people, to go and work with the Sunspace team on developing the satellite. And together with the Department of Communication, we were able to offer those internships to about 9 black students who joined the Sunspace team and also worked on the development of the microsatellite. Some of them are still working at Sunspace, and some of them were absorbed by the CSIR at the Satellite Application Center, as well as at the optronics unit within the Defense Space and Security Division of the CSIR. To do a program like that requires that you have some kind of investment in developing the technology, and that allows them to have very hands-on type of training where they come out of there knowing exactly how to build a satellite. So we will continue those type of programs. We will use the centers of competence also to be part of. As part of the center of competence, we will have a component of that that interacts with universities. Therefore, they would also have a responsibility for building a capacity with through the students at the university. So there will be for each of those some sort of student support that allows for them to participate in those programs. We, in terms of whether the science councils are ready, we have started working with primarily at the CSIR at the moment. They have a division that, as I said, is part of defense, safety, and security, and that division has been developing some of these technologies that for applications in the military. So they only use them for, mounting on military vehicles, for instance. You can have the same sensor that you can use in space for doing that, but then you have to obviously protect it differently for using it in space. So we have started working with them in terms of starting to recapitalize a little bit the hotel facility, improving our the optical and testing and integration bench at Holtec, and they are going to start doing that work for us. And all of that is to make sure that they start also getting a lot more involved in looking at applications that relate more to space. And I think, I mean, it will take a bit of time, but I think we started that process already, and they are very enthusiastic in getting involved in that. The countries that sell the data, primarily what happens the way we buy this data is we basically pay for a license to access the satellite when it flies over South Africa. So so when these satellites go over the country and they take images, the Satellite Application Center, if we have a license, then they are able to give them the codes that allow them to download information from the satellite. We buy it primarily as raw data, and then the Satellite Application Center has to develop these type of images that can then be used by the various government departments. But some of the government departments also have infrastructure and capabilities to develop their own applications. So some of them get the data raw as it is and then develop their own information packages. So we really are
just buying information as it comes like that and pay a long-term license fee, for instance. I think the one with the French was about 60 million that we had to pay to the French over a three-year period to be able to download that data. But that data was really useful because for the first time we were able to have a full color mosaic of the country in 1 year, which we've never been able to do before. So you could get a 2.5 meter resolution, all the images of South Africa. And this is the second year that the satellite application center has done that. Water says they, in fact, that image that was taken that I showed to you was requested by them because they wanted the satellite application center to demonstrate how they can use this data for that sort of application. Obviously, when they have that, they are able to. They can do one or two things: be able to go physically and verify again that information, and then if they are able to verify, then they can get the farmer to pay the penalty for having supplied incorrect information. I actually don't know what they did specifically to the farmer, but I think that at least it allows them to do that. I mean, normally I guess what they would do is do spot checks and just go to different farmers and check against the register. But at least this, with this information, they don't have to go to each and every farm. They can look at the biggest offenders and maybe start with those. And, you know, and once people know that they can monitor them, they probably will stop lying about the irrigation. So I think it assists in that way. Sunspace, we worked with Sunspace on the micro satellite project. They are not part of DST. They are a private company that was spun out of the University of Stellenbosch. So they are completely independent, and they developed this micro satellite on our behalf, and we've worked with them also, as I said, on training on the internship program. I know that even the Department of Communication in the past has worked with them, and at the moment might also be working with them on other projects. At this stage, I think we are still talking to them about a much more optimal way of engaging with Sunspace. You know, we haven't reached any agreement as yet, but we are continuing to engage with them. And I think it might be useful to visit Sunspace, but at the same time also the HoTech facility, just to get a sense, I guess the chair has seen it, a sense of the magnitude of the facility that was set up and the capability that we have in that facility. This year for Science Week, I don't think that we'll be focusing on space. We've done it for the past 2 years, though, during Science Week, that we engage the learners on space. Every year throughout the world, from the 4th to the 10th of October, they celebrate World Space Week. And during that week, every year, we have activities that we primarily focus on learners as well as sometimes the general public. At the same time, when we develop the microsatellite, we actually engage the learners by inviting them to propose a name for the satellite. And, you know, in doing that, obviously we distributed material, telling them what the satellite does, and you know, it generated quite a lot of public awareness among the youth on satellite technology. So I think that every year we have at least 1 week where we focus primarily on space and we engage the youth. Let me talk about Mikey.
Okay. Before I go on to the next, I just wanted to speak a little bit about the propagation of the technology. And what we see from outside is a limited as a developing country with competing needs for the limited resources. I think
imagining what South Africa would look like with a vibrant space program. But there are limitations in terms of the budget that they can access to bring those technologies and develop those technologies. There are many opportunities for South African, especially government and government departments, to save using this technology. And one good example is on monitoring fishing activity in our coast. I think it's MCM, has to go out in very expensive boats to go and monitor physically the fishing activities. They can do that remotely using space and save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And ESCOM loses a lot through their reticulation system. They lose a lot of power in the power lines. And sometimes, the sales and all the activity that happens, you lose the connection, and they're not able to see that immediately. They have to send people out to go and monitor what's happening, what the problem is. And with this technology, you're able to monitor on time and send people to a problem to solve the problem. And sometimes you can even solve the problem remotely. So we can bring the technology to the country, develop it in South Africa, provided we get enough funding. And the limitation at the moment is that. On Nessie, I was trying to check with my office if Nessie did inform the portfolio committee that there is a Nessie review this week.
Yes.
And the Nessie review is looking at what Nessie has been doing over the past 4 years, but also looking at the role of Nessie going forward with our evolving national system of innovation. And as I said earlier when I was introducing this bill, that because we're a system that is maturing, we're starting to look at our institutional arrangement more closely. We've invested in programs, mm-hmm. we're looking at our institutional arrangement, and that is one of those. You find in that as you've invested in science and technology, you now have to focus on making sure that we do get the output out of our investment. And not one department will be able to do that. You need various departments joining hands and making sure that we're able to develop the product and push those products to the market. So that whole value chain of activities goes beyond the mandate of the Minister of Science and Technology. And so I'm not going to say whether NECI should report to the President, but the review that the OECD did in 2007 on our national system of innovation did indicate that in order for South Africa to benefit optimally from the investment we're making on science and technology and be able to coordinate the various activities, NECI, a body like NECI, will have to report to a more broader structure than just a department. And this review committee will look into this. And I hope that they've asked for some audience with the portfolio committee and the review committee. Okay.
You want to talk to you on the telephone?
Okay, they'll talk to you on the telephone.
Yeah. Tell me some of them are.
Some
went to France or Telecom. Four of them are interested. Four people and others are abroad. Anyway, I've seen your commission. No. Maybe one thing that we just have to get an appraisal of how much money are we going to pass with this technology. Generally, just to answer license conditions and all that, because it looks like we also sometimes get it all over.
Yeah.
Each department is doing so. This thing of coordination becomes very key. And if we pay 60 million just to get the lab of South Africa, then it's a lot of money just paid for that.
Yeah.
I could have drawn it up like that. Or just ask France to say, can you just give us this money? But that's playing the space, and we can threaten farmers to say, we'll get pictures from heaven if you don't. No, it's good technology. All I'm saying, I'm just trying to make it lighter.
Yeah.
it's good technology, but the deployment of that technology is expensive, and it needs coordination. But also, if we've got limited, limited number of people playing in that space, then that investment is also wasted. In my previous life, we used to engage geoscience, doing the same thing. And the number of people getting into that profession, geophysicists are dwindling. You see? The nuclear scientists are dwindling. NRF is doing something to get their PhD programs. I mean, they're like that academic. But you go to the primary schools and the high schools, you look into our science programs. We talk Dinalen, we talk Oscar Hutra, but we do this on the ground. So all I'm saying is that I like what you do, but I'm not even excited. Until we can bring something here that tells us that what we're doing coordinated and these are the results that we need. Then we're going to keep more money. A lot of money is part of it. But if it's just Mickey Mouse playing games, right, we're going to restrict some of the cash, unfortunately. You know, you must get us my shuttle work here. Can you, the workspace next Tuesday, he says not coming. But look for another date when he's available. Let's come and talk space technology from people who come from there. yeah. And also to say, listen, we need people who can also assist us to hack up our activities in the world. So we'll have to send in a special invitation also to make an input. Amongst others, of some of these things. I must take the last two hands before we adjourn this meeting. So I need more hands. Until lunch, I think the lunch will be ready at after 12. I've seen Mom Yandu from the Sarita. And then I'll come back to that. Can you just hear for the cool lady?
Wait.
Yeah. What do you want to hear for Baba Yandu.
Thank you, Chair. The question is, how do we balance use of space with the need for security? I know that we are saying that, for example, the object of the year is to promote peaceful use of space. But then the question that arises in my mind is the question of security. Of the country, is there a code of conduct to ensure that there's a balance, between this? I'm saying this because I believe that information that is gathered in peaceful periods can be used, differently in wartime periods. How do we balance it? With all the advantages that we have talked about,
I think the way to respond to this is the reality is that whether we like it or not, Big Brother is watching. the reality is that there are people who know a lot more about what is happening in our country because they have the means to do that. And you can't get away from that because nobody is going to stop them. In fact, the UN treaty talks about the fact that a sensed country, so if someone is observing your country, you have the right to get access to that information. But the country that provides it, they will determine how much they want to charge it, and they determine when they want to give you that information. So it doesn't go as far as insisting that, the information must be available immediately. If there's a disaster anywhere in the world, and you can engage with any country that has satellites, and they will immediately be able to give you that information because they are always observing the Earth. Some of it is not necessarily for spying. It really is because some of the environmental issues are global in nature. If you're doing climate change studies, for instance, it's a global phenomenon. So you have to study all aspects of it all over the world. You can't just look at your own country. So some of it is really purely on targeting civilian applications. I think perhaps the way to look at it is to say, you know, how comfortable are we with other people knowing much more about our country than we do? And really that's where the security comes from, is that you have to be able to do a lot more control of what information is available. And if you are taking the images yourself, you also have a mechanism for controlling who you can sell those images to. I mean, in the U.S., as I said, for example, they are probably between them and France, the countries that have a mechanism for going even lower, where you can see individual cars driving and read the number plates on the cars. They that data they do not sell at all, and they will not even sell within their country. They will not even sell to their own citizens, for example. So I think it really is an issue of deciding, you know, which is the worst of the two. Would you rather, you know, have the people are going to observe anyway, and there's no way that you can stop that, and or is it better for us to have that intelligence ourselves so that we are better able to secure the country even better? Because if you know what people can see, you can also determine how you make sure you protect the things that you don't want other people to see. I have a whole lot of images, you know, that were taken as showing, you know, being able to determine the exact type of military aircraft that was parked in a specific place, just based on, you know, the shadow that it left on that space, you know, or being able to see where there's camouflage and, you know, a car. There were tracks, and then all of a sudden there are no tracks. So immediately you can know, you know exactly where it's hidden in that environment, because all of a sudden it doesn't look, it looks like the vehicle has disappeared. So, I mean, all of those images are available whether we like it or not.
The security matter is mostly still unresolved. Sovereignty of countries are included by some of these applications. There are a lot of risks, but also opportunities. The short answer to that is that let's use the technology. But we might not be able to get to have pictures of America. They have pictures of our house. These cell phones that they use, if you can go a whole radio, how you can be detected wherever you are by using some of these technology applications. But to try, let's get the treaties, let's read what code of conduct we have, the UN, all of things that it's happening around.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the positives really outweigh the negatives, as far as I can see. You know, there's so much more that you can do, like Bonu was saying, in terms of even cost saving. The example she was giving about Eskom, there is a project that Eskom funded with CSIR, where they wanted them to develop a fire warning system, because they wanted to be sure that if there's a risk to any of their infrastructure they know in advance. And
no, we've been briefed on the program.
Yes.
We have some sense of what needs to happen.
Yeah.
I think what he was raising is that it depends who you are. We are a very peace-loving people.
Mm.
So we use this for peaceful means, for positive means. They say that some of the information that we use can be used during times of war.
Ah, okay.
But also the origination of this space technology, the satellite application, was for military purposes.
Yes.
Purposes in the first place. We are trying to turn all these negatives into positives. Mm. And I think there's a thing.
Yeah.
See, that's what you're trying to do. But we should never forget the historical evolution of some of these applications that we speak about. Yeah, strategic deployment to one and so on. You are the one that last one. Hey, we have to go right. Hey, don't laugh. We are left after Comet Farid. Can't come here, make them keep quiet.
But on another point, I want to say that in terms of industrial development, I will come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my comrades have, or colleagues have touched on coordination.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to articulate this a bit more, to say you don't have to actually respond if you don't want to. But I think we need to look at very important components of your work in terms of coordination.
Mm.
And perhaps, I don't know if we need to look at it in terms of the girl as well. How does your, because you've got a cross-cutting responsibility.
Mm.
If we want to make this country work, we cannot afford your little institution to work in silo. I know
mm-hmm.
you're not to
mm-hmm.
but I want us to say that your function is core function.
Mm.
Because if I look at now, just by applying myself just to one or two departments. Like I think one of my colleagues talked about public work, a classic example. Another example, DTI.
Mm.
DTI is a functional department which has core activities in terms of our country's revenue and development, industrial development,
mm.
and even other developments. Mining, intelligence. Your even your mandate is so big, if I just apply my mind now. Because if you inform, that is now advocacy, we come back to advocacy,
mm.
inform those departments, or if you have a working relationship,
mm.
that work can become so much more easier,
mm.
because you are saving time and you're saving money for the department.
Mm.
I know there's I know one of the faces is talking to that.
Mm.
But I think we need to refine that a bit.
Mm.
I want to say another thing is, in terms of national challenges, how do you actually apply your mind to national challenges, like just two important things,
mm-hmm.
the crime issue and the crime issue and the ESCOM, the power of the state.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that can actually be plugged in. It's some things that I just thought perhaps I can put into your mind. You need not respond, but just plug it into that area of your work
mm.
where you know your core responsibility is not just what you're looking at, but
that's
it's a very, very broad kind of area
mm.
because it actually puts it into all your departments.
Mm.
Now I want to say something which is ironical.
Mm.
Colleagues here will be able to take it on board. If we're talking about space technology, why can't we sort out our own technology? You had a struggle just to get your thing onto the board. As a serious science and technology community, we cannot have technology failing in our world. I think I've got it.
I'm sorry for not being heard. Maybe that's all the questions.
Okay.
Because I assume this is the last part of what you're saying. And this is very, very interesting.
better self, did you have something before that did not
Madam Chair,
happen?
Yes. I'm extremely excited, but
you're
my life, in this portfolio committee is about 12 months long. And then I would sit back and probably say, I'm going to do something about it, do something about it. Let me go and say to you, you've already touched on it in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
Cartography and mapping. We now have the tool to change the 100-year and the 50-year flood level line. We've had floods out here in Cape Town where the squatters, the south of Cape Town, had immense problems. Little did we realize that if we used this tool, we could have found out 20 years ago that the 50-year flood line and the 50-year, 100-year flood line has changed. Because if you look at one of the images which is given us here of Pretoria, the whole space that the photograph, which is a small space of Pretoria, is covered with tar, with roofs and everything else, and all the water going down there, going into the Arpiza River. It's doing to the Arpiza River what Sir Winston Churchill said 100 years before, it's turning it into a mighty river. And every year that happens in every one of our towns, there's a major development. And we're even going one step further now. You've taken a photograph of just the roofs. But under that roof, sometimes lives 100 families in one building. And all of them have motives. So it affects the roof. It affects virtually everything we're doing. So yes, we've got the space agency. And I believe my colleagues, now that we've got the space agency, we've got to take that big step for mankind that the astronaut talked about. And mankind is here where we live. We've got to use that tool, that agency, to wake up the other departments and say, go look at your maps. Your 30-year flood level line, your 100-year flood level line is covered back. So don't use that map to build a township in that area, because you're going to build it in a flood level area, like you've done in Guguleta and other places. So your work is really to wake up the other departments, to wake up local government to say to them, there's a tool in your hand now. Go and re-look at what you've done 50 years ago. It isn't applicable anymore. And our physical plan can then be improved. Let's look at the region as well, Mr. Chair. Maputo does not have these people. Does not have these departments. But the squatters are growing around the city of Maputo enormously. So they, our neighbors does not even have this tool yet to develop. And if we want to develop our region, our space agency must look at it and say to a number of departments, wake up. Agriculture, wake up. Township planning, wake up. There's a lot of things you need. Roads, especially. And if we're going to go into the era of warm, global warming, we need to do something now. And you've got a much more important job than what you realized before you came here. Thank you.
Madam Chair, first I would like to apologize for coming late. But my understanding is that we got today a briefing. And science is obviously never in study, not a study of a once off kind of component that you see there, that space where new research continues to be made. And new development continues to take place. I'm just looking forward to discussing the chapter that we spent today. Just on the basis of this introduction of this debate, we're looking forward to dealing with the space scientists, getting to learn more about this that we have to interrogate and I don't know if we have a question. I think about the disadvantage of the relationship between our country. Thank you.
Yeah, in I think I understand the point you're making around you know, your earlier question around industrial development. I really want to say that it is improving our interaction, at least as a department, with other government departments. We have gone into a process now of even having regular one-on-one meetings with various government departments, and having even formal agreements signed on and identifying areas where we work together. In fact, this afternoon we have a meeting with DPI, and this is one of the areas that will be discussed. I would agree with you that this role would be a lot more difficult if the agency is seen as a Department of Science and Technology agency. It will not work. It has to be a national agency that all government departments feel that it's able to support their work fully. And we have to find a way of ensuring that complete buy-in, that there is no, it's never viewed as a DST agency at all. It cannot be a DST agency. It will not be able to do half the things that it needs to do if it's a DST agency. We have started talking to, as I said, we had an intergovernmental committee that we worked with to develop the strategy that the agency will need to implement. And we have identified that we need a very specific program around industry development, which we've now agreed with the DTI that we will co-develop that program so that when it completes, it's a DST-DTI a industrial development program on space, and so that process will start now that we, you know, we are almost at the end of finalizing the bill itself and the strategy. So I would say that by the end of this financial, well, maybe before that actually, by the end of this year, we might be able to come back with a presentation on the industrial development component of it. I think it will be necessary to do that, and at least there's full agreement with the DTI that we work together to develop that strategy. The other development challenges that we have, I think what I haven't presented is the functions that this agency will do. So it will have the response, and I mean, some of these terms, you know, when you say research, it's kind of broad. It really doesn't say exactly what the agency will do, but we're looking at the agency being in having the capacity to develop technologies to then also operate space systems if necessary. And also work with the stakeholders to develop the applications. To some extent, you know, the CSIR, for instance, does various research using this data on things like crime prevention, for example. And I still think that the kind of information we need is the kind of information that is not readily available at the state. As I said, that you can actually, there are capabilities in the world now to really look at sub-meter level type of images, but those images, they don't sell, and therefore perhaps, you know, when we implement the space program, we have to identify those areas where there are gaps in terms of information and where there's a bigger need in terms of what the country can use, and it is possible to apply it to those areas. On the energy side, really, again, what you can be able to assist with is to start observing, you know, in advance the changing in the seasons, and therefore be able to alert the power utility well in advance that, you know, in a 2-3 months time, this is what's going to happen in the environment, and therefore this is what the implication it might have on the power requirements. in addition, you can look at assisting them with looking at renewable energy sources, looking at the development of more efficient, for instance, solar systems, where you are able to determine exactly where you need to position the system for it to get the maximum access to the sun, and be a lot more efficient than how it is now. So there's a whole range of different things that you can, or information that you can provide, that would assist us with some of the challenges that we're having on crime and even on power outages. I just think that, as Bonnie said, the main limitation we have now, obviously, is the funding. But sometimes, even if we had, we still again need to really develop the capacity, the institutional capacity, to be able to use this information more productively as well.
This meeting that ended about 45 minutes ago.
Oh.
I dragged it because I wanted you to have this lunch. Otherwise, we're going to get to go out, you would never come back, and that's fully safe. So, thank you, Peter, for holding the phone. And my apologies for going out when you were still talking. There was a space technology in my pocket. Yeah. No. I think let's do that. Let's thank you very much, the department. I don't know if there's anything you want to say, because I'm now closing and so on. And just to remind you that we're looking forward to having that report on Friday, or by Friday, about your engagement with others. And that also the issue that we will also follow up here, so that we find some time to deal with is the this board appointment question, so that we either give you what you want and live happily thereafter, or deny you what you want. I don't know whether you'll be unhappy. And we're getting biases. I think it's just a matter of time to process some of this happening. I don't know. I just can't make it.
You just need an afternoon. Not that far for me.
yes, but we don't want to pass and go. We take one portfolio committee day, maybe just go there in the morning, come back, we follow up, whatever. We need a morning. We've got more mornings than afternoons.
Oh, okay.
Afternoons, we go to sit in the house and ensuring that we make good laws for the country, or amend them, or issues of strategic and national interest, and so on. But also the question that you've raised about competency centers. I think it's important to give us more or less your thinking as to how you want to unfold this thing. It is not clear in terms of our coordination with the region, in terms of what, It spells out, I think, Nigeria, Algeria, or whatever. When we started the Stony project, is there any program in the AU or in SADC, whatever, to try and get deal with us? These are some of the issues that we want to engage with you as time goes on. The the question of that you raised of the ITU, basically they deal with the allotment and allocation of frequencies. That's basically what they do. And from there, the countries, they distribute, allot, sell, whatever they do. Let me not enter into this too much. Let me leave it for another. The treaties and then that were either signed or ratified, I think it's important to get that confirmation. If it's ready, I'm sure you must be having it ready. Send it by Friday so that next week Tuesday I can just ensure that every member has got all the information that we said we were going to give them. You don't have any objection in us bringing my shot work, and you forgot it's not your enemy. That is an enemy of the department. We invite them here and then we start with serious affair on my shot work section. You know,
you know, the question of boundaries and skills development and so on, I think it's a matter that, but let's look into broad skills development, education in this field. I think that's something that I don't know. We sometimes look at science and technology, the Department of Education also having its own programs. We need something that brings together the country to the extent. Mm. You see?
Mm.
How are we going to get that answer? I think we're looking for answers as much as we are also trying to best. But let's see, that's work in progress, and thank you very much for your time and patience. And now we say this is a very good subject, you can go all over. You know, the advantage was this is that you can discuss everything under those issues. So thank you very much. We're looking forward to seeing you again soon, next Friday, I suppose, to come and talk to us about the money. Have you budgeted for that?
Well, for the agencies, we hope we will get money from National Treasury this year, or
okay,
for the next financial year.
Okay.
We have some money to start to continue some of the activities and to start upgrading the hotel facility as well, and but not to start building satellites and such things. We can build them cheaper.
Cheaper?
Yes.
You can do them cheaper, then?
Yes.
You see, that's the point.
Mm.
Then you do Hong Kong stuff.
No.
you know, there's something that want to check in terms of when do you want this law back? This year?
Yeah.
Anytime this year?
Yeah.
But you want the listing to be in place in the next year? What is your program like?
There's usually a lot of preparation. I think after we have the bill enacted, we will have to get the governance structure in place.
How long will that take?
4 months. Because we have to go through processes of advertising and so forth. So by April, we were hoping that we will have the shell and start incorporating activities under that shell.
No, we'll do it for you. There's another one coming.
Yes, there's another one coming. The intellectual property rights from public finance research bill.
Okay. Those are the only ones we're doing for this.
Yes.
No other problem. No, we'll do it for you. We'll do that other one as well. But we are going to check. Some of us will be here after the next election. If you think that the ANC will disappear, we'll be here. If I'm not here, she'll be here. She will remember. If you're not here, she'll be here. You might not. Trump will be here, definitely. Yeah. I've been working on this since 1994, so I know that he's here forever. You know, the worry is that we pass the laws, but they get passed. You see? I understand this dilemma that you've got of appointment of power. But if you come rushing with bills and we do our best to get them through, and then after a year you still say, no, don't sign them, we'll treat you like that in future. We'll pack all your bills, you see? So just take seriously the work we're doing. It's not the luxury of time that we have in here to do this, but we're giving this priority or the understanding that we want to see implementation.
We appreciate that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank
you. You know, I'm so proud of you. Thank you very much. Listen, I need you to...